When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
I'll tell you what, I didn't just say it in passing, but Marv Albert is like talking history.
I wanted to add, it's not just the history that he lived. He also is the voice of basketball in your head.
Right.
So the combination is like, all of a sudden I'm watching and I'm hearing the John Tesh classic and watching a Bulls-Knicks playoff game in 1989. It's unbelievable.
So he's someone for everybody, right? Because you've got basketball fans. He did Rangers forever on radio. He was in the Red Sox locker room after the 86 World Series. If you remember,
yep.
I remember him interviewing Marty Barrett after that game 7 loss. He had some big, he was the voice of NBC football, so he did a lot of Jet games. I mean, this was somebody that had his hands on a lot of things, Peter. So no matter what sports fan you were, what team you rooted for like 30 years, Marv Albert was in your life, and he'd go on Letterman to do his, top 10 sports moments of the year. He was just everywhere. He's so iconic.
Yeah, and you know, his memories of Willis, great guy. If you just got out of work, Willis Reed passed away at the age of 80, and I knew I had a sinking feeling that something was up because he did not show up at the Garden for the 50th anniversary of the 1973 championship team, and you know, he's the captain of that team, so for him not to be there, that was obviously, I guess now in retrospect, a clue that he was not doing well. And he passed away today. But one of the most iconic moments in sports history. Marv just explained it. Willis coming out of the tunnel. Can you imagine? They wouldn't do it now. Can you imagine the amount of drugs that they shot into his leg in order for him to just come out?
What do you mean they
court?
Wouldn't do it, though? They do it for football all the time.
You watched a little bit more closely.
I mean, but come on. Mahomes in the playoffs? He was done. They probably had 19 needles stuck in Mahomes' leg.
But they used to put needles in that looked like knitting needles.
Oh.
That kind of needle.
Oh, that's terrifying.
There wasn't much thought about the future of athletes when they made those decisions back then, right? It was get me out there for game 7. Players, too. Just like get me out there. And you don't, you know, this is a guy that only played 10 years. So you wonder today, would they have said, listen, it's better we don't do this because there's a future you have.
1-800-919-3776. Also, we want to talk about a game tonight that might be one of the most watched baseball games of all time. And that's Japan against the United States in the WBC final. Japan with a thrilling victory. I'll tell you what, the more you watch Ohtani, he is on another level of special. When he led off that bottom of the ninth inning, there was no doubt in my mind that he was going to get a hit. And I thought he was going to hit a home run to tie the game. But he just laced a double, and he's so fast, he's so big, he's so strong, he's so unbelievable. We will not see players like this again in our lifetime. I mean, this is Babe Ruth in our time. The guy is a great pitcher and a great hitter, and then there was a walk after that, and then the double to win it. It was thrilling.
With all due respect to Anaheim and whatever, I don't know what due respect is to Anaheim. Don't you wish he was here?
Well, he may be.
I mean, L.A. would be cool, too. With all due respect, don't get upset, everyone. Boston would be cool. But, like, one of these places where it would really matter. Because, man, have you seen him up close?
Oh, yeah.
You've walked by him?
I sat next to him at the just after he signed with the Angels.
Yeah, I remember this.
I sat next to him at the baseball writers' dinner because I was presenting Ken Singleton. So I think that was the only time in my life I was on the dais at the baseball writers' dinner. And he was sitting next to me, and he speaks a little bit of English, and he said, why is everybody so mad that I didn't sign with the Yankees? I said, because they wanted you to sign with the Yankees. He goes, maybe next time. Something like, and he giggled. And I said, well, why didn't you come? And I mean, his English isn't that good that he could explain why he didn't come. But
well, how's your Japanese?
I'm terrible.
Yeah, I figured.
But
Kobayashi, I think you could say Kobayashi.
No, that's just a guy's name who eats hot dogs.
He's an amazing dude. He's an extraordinarily handsome guy, and he's really tall. You know, Japanese players usually aren't that tall.
No, he's
like my size. He might even be a little bigger.
I think he's 6'5", 6'6".
Yeah,
right?
he's an enormous dude. We're in the middle right now. Diamond Notes brought to you by London Jewelers, and you know what stinks about the WBC to me, because I said at the beginning of the show, the great ones can admit they're wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm clearly a great one.
Obviously, everyone says that.
And I was wrong. These games are scintillating, and they're just fascinating to watch. But starting the championship game for the United States today is Merrill Kelly. Merrill Kelly. Not Gerrit Cole, not Justin Verlander, not Max Scherzer.
Well, who's the best pitcher on the rotation for them?
I guess it could be Wainwright, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was the big name.
They're handcuffed because the greatest pitchers will not pitch in these games. Now, if for the United States, in other countries, yes. I mean, Ohtani might pitch tonight.
When did he last pitch?
Well, but he's allowed to pitch, but he might come in relief. He's not going to start.
Okay.
But the United States, not Merrill Kelly, all due respect, we use that too much.
Way too much.
Is not one of the best pitchers in America.
Mm-hmm.
No.
But he's going to get this start. And also, in order to really judge a great team or the best team, you got to have the best players. And also, you have to have no handcuffs on the manager. So the previous game, Adam Wainwright led off, started the game for the Americans, loaded the bases, nobody out, then walked in a batter. Then Andy Pettitte came out, the pitching coach, and said, "You've been here before. Nobody's hit the ball hard. Just give up the one run, and then you're cool." Here's what they were playing against. They couldn't get anybody up in the bullpen, Peter. If anybody warms up, they have to come into the game. And then they would.
That's about protecting arms?
Yeah. You can't get people up and down. And you can only keep a starter in for 4 innings. So if they had gotten somebody up and he had to come in to get out of that jam, Adam Wainwright, they would have had to use like every one of their pitchers. And you can't pitch 2 days in a row, 2 games in a row. They had no chance to win the championship.
Can't start Adam, 2 games in a row, can't
you
play.
You can't play in 2, you can't pitch in 2 games in a row. So Adam Wainwright getting out of that jam with 1 run and then ended up going 4 innings, if they win this championship, it's because he was able to buckle down. Because if they had to empty up the bullpen, they'd have no chance. They would have no chance today. So to me, that's not a true indication of who's the best team or who has the best players, because they're not working under rules that are fair. If you get a guy in the bullpen, you got to bring him in. So they had to hang with Wainwright. He could have given up 8 runs in the first inning.
All right.
I get what you're saying. You're not wrong, but is that going to affect the interest in this game tonight?
No, it's not.
You know, so
they're calling the United States, Don, the billion-dollar lineup. Because that's their annual. That's
right.
If you put their annual salaries, it's like $1 billion, or their total salaries that they make, their contracts.
But you know what's interesting, and see if you follow me here. This could be the future of baseball, because the way pitchers are treated right now, with how long they're allowed to pitch, how often they're allowed to pitch, the impact that they have on the season, is this where we're going? Where, you know, yeah, there'll be some great pitchers that you want to see, but are baseball fans, especially younger baseball fans, more driven to see the everyday player? That they want to see the offense. They want to see the hits. And now the stolen bases, because that's going to be incorporated into the game more. I mean, pitchers are treated with such kid gloves. They don't pitch complete games anymore. We're always itching to get to the bullpen. Where, yeah, I like a great pitching matchup, but I'm wondering if there's a generation that really enjoys that as much as we did, because you don't see it as often.
That's for sure. But anyway, about the interest in this game, Japan-Taiwan last week had 57 million people watching it. This is around the country, not just on Fox or FS1. Around the country. And that was the most watched baseball game of all time. Previously, it had been 55 million for a World Series game. I forget what year. But today, you would think that is going to be a great interest in the United States. I don't understand why Fox is keeping it on FS1. This, to me, is a Fox vehicle.
I guess is the Masked Singer on or something? I don't know.
Something like that. But it will be on FS1.
That is interesting. You wouldn't think they could make it work tonight?
They could really make it work tonight. And I think they'd get a big number, because I'm sorry, I always have to check myself. Like, okay, where is FS1?
And that's not a diss, but I never.
Right. So I know on my system it's 85. But I always have to remember. I know ESPN, top of my head, 36. Yes is 73. MSG, 71. SNY, right. 60. But FS1, I don't go through that often.
Humor me, Michael, because I'm a moron.
Yes.
Well, I don't like how quickly you responded, but who else, what other Japanese players do we know from the big leagues on the team?
Well, Lars Nootbaar plays for the Cardinals, and he's become almost their spokesman because he speaks English.
Lars Nootbaar.
Yeah, he's a pretty good player. I know you look at me askance, but he can play.
His name doesn't sound traditionally Japanese, I'll say that.
No. I'm sure that there's a relative that
is the Nootbaar, the Nootbaar family.
Right. Murakami, who had the big hit yesterday. The kid who started yesterday gave up a 3-run home run. You're going to see him in the big leagues. I think his name is Roki Suzuki. Mm. First inning, he's throwing 101 miles an hour. Nice and easy. He's like 21 years old. He's going to eventually pitch in the States, but you do have to give the Japanese League a certain amount of time. So they've got some players. I mean, maybe not identifiable to a lot of Americans. There are, well, obviously, the biggest star is Ohtani, but
I will say
they
this.
Got great players.
I mean, obviously,
they have great players.
Obviously, all of us have come a long way with regard to how we think about the WBC. And my guess is the next time it rolls around, our interest will all be higher when it starts.
But here's the problem. We're going to forget. In 4 years, we'll forget. This. We haven't had the WBC because of the pandemic since 2017.
Right.
So it's been six years. So I think they like it every 3 years. But if it's this good, why not have it every year?
But I'd imagine, based on how it feels this year, and how much interest there is among Major League Baseball fans, if tonight's a dramatic game and Ohtani wins it, especially if we're to come in and pitch too,
right?
My God, that would be a nice piece to add to his building legacy.
Well, he's gonna be the first $50 million a year player. He's gonna be a free agent at the end of this year. He's gonna be the first $500 million player. So, how much is? I mean, if Steve Cohen says I want him, no matter.
I was gonna say, what do you think is more likely? He becomes a Met or a Yankee?
I think the Yankees will go for it, but I think the Yankees will be reasonable. I think they would love to have him, but I think the Dodgers are going to be in. Mm-hmm. I think the Padres, they don't care about it.
Yeah.
The Mets. So if you've got all of these big money teams bidding for you, it might go to places that we can't even imagine.
Mm. I think a lot may have to do with how the Mets and Yankees perform this season. Like if one of them has a really disappointing year, like let's say the Yankees, you know, finish 500 and miss the playoffs. I mean, wouldn't it be a moral imperative for them?
Wait,
to
Don,
get them?
I just heard a few of our listeners just drop dead where they were sitting.
Well, I'm just saying is that, you know, because the Yankees always can fall back on, hey, we're in the playoffs every year. If all of a sudden you had a catastrophic season, wouldn't you feel the need to kind of make up for it by being all in on Ohtani? Same with the Mets. You know, Mets, let's face it, last year ended up disappointing. They thought they were going to win the division, have to settle for the wild card, and then lose in that first round. You know, what if they don't make the playoffs? Is Cohen going to feel like, I got to make up for this? We had a tough season. I'm all in. I don't, you know, be damned the luxury tax. I'm going to do whatever I have to. Now, if one of the two teams wins a championship, maybe there's less pressure to go out and spend that big. So I think the kind of seasons the two locals have may depend on how deep they'll go in on.
Now, I don't want to go too deep in the weeds. By the way, in the middle of Diamond Notes right now, brought to you by London Jewelers, the engagement experts. Visit London Jewelers today at any of their seven locations, including the newest location at the mall at Short Hills. You get Ohtani, you somehow make it work. But a little secret, he doesn't quite fit on the Yankees. As long as Stanton can't play the outfield every day, Ohtani has to DH. And Stanton's your DH for the next 4 years, I think. So, I mean, how does that fit? You're not going to give him $50, $60 million just to pitch, because the most breathtaking part of his arsenal is the fact that he hit 50 home runs. He's that great. So how would you play him? I don't know. Unless he learns how to play the outfield, but do you really a guy who pitched into 101 pitches one day, do you want him throwing in the outfield? That's why he's a DH.
Listen, I don't want to change it because he's so captivating to watch, but, you know, still getting Ohtani is a scary proposition because of injury. You know, if God forbid he got hurt, not only do you lose a pitcher, you lose an everyday player.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty catastrophic, and you see how often pitchers get hurt, have to go on the IL, miss some time, and you lose your best offensive player too during that period of time. I do think at some point in his career, it might behoove him to decide to pick one or the other. Yeah, but that, but right now, it's just too much fun.
Right, it's too magical. That's what separates him from everybody else.
So right.
He's a great pitcher with a lot of great pitchers. He's a great hitter with a lot of great hitters. But there's nobody that's a great pitcher and a great hitter. That's what drives his number up. This Hoops preview is brought to you by Bet365. Download the app today. MSG is hosting the East Region Sweet 16 matchups on Thursday. First matchup is third-seeded Kansas State against seventh-seeded Michigan State at 6:30 p.m., followed by fourth-seeded Tennessee against ninth-seeded Florida Atlantic. All right, so also today, Rick Pitino was officially named the head coach of St. John's. Big press conference at Madison Square Garden. And we're not really picking on Rick Pitino, but we do want you all to listen to what athletes and coaches and managers say with a little bit of a grain of salt. So how many years ago was this when Pitino was on with it? Was it 3 years ago when he got the Iona?
21.
All right, so here's Rick Pitino after he got the Iona job, and we asked him, do you have any intention of coaching anywhere else?
I've been on record many, many times. I will. The last game I'll coach will be at Iona College. It won't be any place. Wouldn't even consider moving at any point. Anytime people show you the loyalty and the respect that they have shown me to fly over to Madrid, Spain, not only the athletic director, but the president, they're the people I want to be involved with. They're the school I want to represent. They're the players I want to coach. And nothing, you know what a big Knicks fan I am. Nothing, even the Knicks could make me even think about coaching elsewhere. So, I'm very lucky to end my career at a small private little school that has big ambitions. It's a ball, a boy, and a dream, and that's what they're all about for our basketball program, and I'm excited to represent them.
How do you do it? How do you do it? Now, unless he somehow schedules Iona for the last game he ever coaches, he lied.
He did.
It's a tough one.
Now, was he just saying it for the heck of it because he really wanted to sell the fact that he was at Iona? Did he think, listen, who's gonna give me a job after Iona? I'm gonna be in my mid 70s,
right?
Was he kind of just figuring like, what chance do I have? How lucky would I be to get another opportunity that it'll be worth the embarrassment of this quote? He must have really thought that was gonna be it, and that he would not get another opportunity.
But I've always said, like, I give advice to people about when you're being interviewed, don't say everything in an absolute like that. I can't see myself being anywhere else.
Easy.
This place has been
hard to imagine.
It's hard to imagine. But he said he wouldn't take the Knicks job, but the St. John's job he took. So, maybe because you know the suspension was lifted, like they had nothing on him, and you know he paid his penance. He really did. It got sloppy there at Louisville, and I believe that St. John's made a great hire. I really do. And with the advent of NIL, and you got a guy like Mike Rapoli, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, the guy who invented vitamin water, he's St. John's alum, and you know what? They are going to be able to get a lot of players with NIL because of the support of a guy like Mike. They just are. He had gone away from the program because they didn't go big when they hired coaches. He was helping support Fordham because of his closeness with Ed Cull, who was at St. John's as an assistant, now the Fordham AD. So I think I believe that he's going to turn it around quickly. I think he's going to make St. John's a Big East power again. They are going to play many more games at the Garden. The thing he has going against him, St. John's does not have great facilities. They don't have this picturesque campus. They don't have a lot of dorms on campus, at least when Louis was there. They didn't, so you have to have off the campus housing. I think that's changed to an extent over the years. But Pitino is going to have a great team next year, and they will make the NCAA.
Heard it here first.
Because you can say whatever you want about Rick Pitino. Really, whatever you want. He is one of the greatest basketball coaches, Don, who has ever lived, ever been on this planet. This guy can coach. He can recruit. He can motivate. He's a teacher. He just should not talk in absolutes.
Yeah, he shouldn't do that. But listen, he's a great coach. And we talked about there, at least, that's changed certainly with some of the upsets that have happened. But we were talking about the lack of a buzz for the NCAA tournament. A lot of that has to do with, look at the iconic coaches that are now gone. You know, he's an iconic coach that players are going to go play for. So I understand there's certain restrictions that St. John's has. But I think anybody that grew up a basketball fan knows the tradition of St. John's, a chance to play at Madison Square Garden, to play for a great coach, a chance to win, a chance to consistently play on television, on national television. Because, you know, if St. John's gets back, Michael, they'll get a lot of nationally televised games. There'll be a buzz around the city. If St. John's gets hot, there'll be a buzz.
Oh,
I know there's a lot going on in New York, but, you know, St. John's has carved out a bit of a spot here to where they can get a lot of attention if he turns it around. So I think a lot of kids, when he sits down in living rooms and he sells the garden and he sells New York and he sells the tradition of St. John's, there'll be a lot of kids that'll decide to stay in the tri-state area and play for St. John's.
You know, he was at Iona a couple of years, and they went to the NCAA twice. So this guy is amazing. He's just amazing, and it was the right hire. Hey, listen, he's 70 years old. He doesn't walk like a 70-year-old. He doesn't talk like a 70-year-old. Obviously, his face is older than it used to be, but this guy has an abundance of energy. He's in great shape. Good for him. Congratulations, but he'd never consider ever leaving Iona. This is the last place ever. One quick Yankee note. Aaron Boone was talking. This is a report by Brian Hoke. Covers the Yankees on MLB.com. Today was the pound-the-table roster meeting that the Yankees have with the scouts, the coaches, Boone, Cashman. I think Hal Steinbrenner might even be involved as well. And I've heard from a lot of people that Boone is one of these people that has pounded the table for Anthony Volpe. So at the beginning of this spring, I didn't think there was any chance. Now I believe there's a chance. Now, if you wanted me to guess, say, Michael, I want you to guess.
I'd love for you to guess.
I bet you they start with Peraza at short, and Volpe could be called up shortly thereafter. I don't think it has anything to do with the clock, but, you know, Anthony, I think, has had 22 games of experience at the AAA level.
Right.
There's a chance, though. I'm not saying there isn't. As, you know, Jim Carrey said in Dumb and Dumber, so you're telling me there's a chance. Yeah, there's a chance. And I think he has some advocates in the Yankee coaching staff. Whether or not the Yankees want to do it, he's had a great spring. He has an OPS over 900. There's a chance this kid could be the opening day shortstop on March 30th against the Giants. There's a chance.
Now, I don't think you should cut off your nose despite your face for the clock. You know, we saw the Mets do, I think, the right thing with Pete Alonso. But, Michael, if it's split, if the organization as a whole's on the fence, shouldn't you err on the side of the clock?
Yeah, I think you do err on the side of the clock. But if he's that good, what does the clock mean to the Yankees? It's not like they can't afford, you know, Anthony Volpe. But I guess if they keep him down there until June or something. But, you know, with the new CBA, that could still be – it's hard to circumvent it. If you think here's the way I look at it, Don. If you think he's the best player, he should play.
Well, but then you're not pounding the table if the consensus is he's the best player. Now, if the people that are saying keep him down there are solely thinking about the clock, that's a different story. But if you're split on whether he's ready, then just err on the side of caution and don't call him up. But if everybody thinks he's their best option to start the season, then, yeah, the clock be damned. It's the Yankees.
Yep, absolutely.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained,
poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Let's take some phone calls. I think that would be a good idea. Let's go to Mike in North Carolina. Mike.
Yes, thanks for taking the call. First-time caller, love the show, listened to it for many years.
Thank you, Mike.
So listening to that tape of Rick Pitino's mea culpa about never leaving Iona reminded me of a story when I was a high school basketball coach in the 80s, and it was his year that Providence went to the Final Four, and he was recruiting our star forward, who was a very good player, who ironically end up going to Providence. In the final visit, this was rumors he was going to the Knicks, and I asked him, are you staying at Providence or would you go to the Knicks? And he said, I'm not leaving Providence. So my player committed to Providence against my advice, and he went to the Knicks the next year. And on top of that, he also promised him I would never – it was a swing forward that wasn't even called that at the time, you know, small forward. He said, I will never recruit another player your size until you're a junior. So I don't have someone coming in. Well, he recruited a next year. During that year, he brought in another player. So doesn't surprise me that Pitino, hearing that quote, just threw it back. I never liked Pitino because of that. I liked him a lot, respected him as a coach. He flat out lied to us and to a kid to his face, and he can't be trusted. And after what he did at Louisville, I can't believe anyone hires him anyway.
Well, I mean, in fairness, Mike, and I hear your story, and I thank you for calling. He was cleared of everything at Louisville. It's hard to believe he had no idea what was going on in that dorm, which he named after his brother-in-law who perished in 9/11, Billy Minardi. So, he has been cleared. Well, it's off his record, but. Louisville wasn't cleared. They ended up losing their national championship. But I think all college coaches are snake oil salesmen. Well, yeah, I mean, they're fibbing in a sense the time.
Let's face it, Michael. You know, we could talk about why he made that statement. Let's be honest. It was strategic. He's at Iona, and you don't go to Iona to stay at Iona. But he's got to go into living rooms of parents around the country and say, come play for Iona. And the first question the father or mother is going to ask her, how long are you going to be there? And what is he going to say to him? I'm not going anywhere. Because he wants the kid. And he wants the kid to be there for 2-3 years.
Yep.
And the kid's not going to commit to Iona if he says, well, listen, if St. John's calls, I'm gone. So I don't want to defend the lying, Michael, but what else are you supposed to do? You're going to recruit trying to get kids to play at Iona when everyone and their mother knows that if you get offered a bigger job, you're going to go. So be as definitive as you can to try to say, no, I'm not going to go, and see if you can convince some kids to stay.
Very, very few college coaches stay in one place. I mean, Jim Boeheim did. Mike Krzyzewski did, although he left Army. Remember, he was the Army coach and then right. went to Duke. But he had a lot of offers. He could have coached the Lakers, but he didn't want to leave Duke. So that it's a business where people jump around, and then they take the best job and the best offer. But now kids have a little bit of a chance. If a coach jumps on them, they could just leave. In the old days, you had to sit out a year of your career. Now they can leave if the coach leaves. And I'm sure that some of the players that he recruited to Iona, he's going to bring to St. John's.
Oh, I'm sure.
Hey, there's a story. You remember Michael Orr? Michael Orr is the offensive lineman of the Blind Side.
Who ended up on the Ravens.
Charger now.
He's a Ram.
And he ended up going to Mississippi State. I think it was Mississippi or Mississippi State. But he was recruited heavily by Nick Saban at LSU when Nick was at LSU. And the family asked, are you going to be at LSU? You have my word. I am going to be at LSU. You have my word. I'm going to be at LSU. He left the house. I think 4 days later, he took the Dolphin job. That's who these guys are.
Right.
It's in the book, The Blind Side, by Michael Lewis. Read it.
Now, let me play devil's advocate. Again, I know how you feel about lying, and I feel the same way. But then how do you recruit, Michael? You know, how do you? I mean, if you're interested in another job, then just resign and hope you get the other job. But he's covering his butt in case they don't call.
But he stays. But my point is this, Don. 3 days later, he was probably negotiating with Miami.
I know, but why even go to the living room? You're doing it just in case it falls through. You want that player. And if you tell that player, I might not be here, then why did you even go? They're not going to commit to your school. Like, the whole setup is crazy, right? I mean, what else are you supposed to do? If you're totally against lying, then I guess you either don't negotiate for another job, or once you start, you resign from the one that you have. What else are you supposed to do?
Yeah, it's hard. By the way, congratulations to Andrew McLaughlin from Maywood, New Jersey. He's going to see Counting Crows right on us.
There you go.
Let's go to Frank in Edgewater. Frank.
What's up, guys? Michael, Don, Peter, huge fan, long time, first time.
Thanks.
Greatest sports show ever. Glad to have Michael back.
Wow, good man.
Thank you.
He never left.
I know. He's the best. This past week, been a lot of names, a lot of news happening in the Big East Conference for sure, which, listen, the Big East Conference, it needed it. Not really the biggest football presence, but, just the basketball conference that it is. The Pitino news is huge, but kind of what you guys have been talking about with, he lied through his face. It is what it is. But college coaches, it's a shady business, not in a disrespectful way, but you got to do what you have to do. The FDU coach, he left right after his match.
Yes, he did. Yep.
Obviously, Ed Cooley, I mean, he was Providence. He was the school of Providence. And then he just left to an in-conference rival, nonetheless.
And, Frank, I've been reading a lot about that, Frank. They never thought he would leave Providence. They never had a contingency plan. They didn't have a plan B because they never thought Ed Cooley would leave.
Not only that, but people found out through a Zillow listing.
Yeah.
I mean, he signed with a realtor to sell his house the night before the senior game, before his last home game ever. He signed to sell his house, gave no indication whatsoever that he was planning on leaving until Sunday. And the players didn't find out until the rest of the world found out. So it's just, I don't want to trash Ed Cooley, but it's just the nature of the business.
But,
you know, it's
but
a
does
shame.
Any,
but,
any of this happen if Purdue wins in a buzzer beater? Like, do any of these pendulums fall if FDU doesn't win that first game?
I don't know. It could have. I mean, because he did a good job.
He did a good job, but he didn't win. If he doesn't win the game, how much does it change?
Peter, where's my $5? When am I getting the money?
Do you have Venmo? Actually, I'm out of cash.
I like cash. I don't want Venmo.
You said Venmo, though.
When I get my 20 from Hal, that's when Peter will pay you.
That bet has nothing to do with this bet.
Well, hold on. You have your wad of cash?
Yeah.
You have $15?
I'll have to check. I don't want to take my wad out.
You don't want to break 1,000. Otherwise, I can put something on it. I can give you two. I got two singles or 20s.
Yeah.
Let me check during the commercial. I don't want to be so...
It's too bad.
I thought badly the last time I took money out.
Because people yelled at you for being a Nas.
Just like a Nas. And also... I become crosshairs on myself as I walk to the garage.
True.
No, because you never know. You might drive by on the way home. There's a garage sale that has like a mint condition Mickey Mantle rookie card, and they'll only accept cash. What other reason would you have all that money on you?
I've told you the reason. We're not going to get into it. And by the way, I was in the car listening to you guys yesterday. Don, I have never agreed with you more. Rose is sketchy in Titanic. She did a lot of bad things, including not letting him on the door.
Which is the least of it to me.
And then throwing the bauble into the water when they're spending all this money to find it. She could have made her granddaughter legendarily rich.
She is a filthy piece of garbage.
Yeah,
she is a straight-up H.
She didn't care about anybody but herself and her urges.
What is an H, by the way?
He was referring to the spike.
Did he mean a W?
No. Well, the abbreviation.
Oh.
That makes sense?
Because I don't know if you...
He's a random dude on a ship.
In 1912, hooking up with a random dude on the Titanic is the equivalent of someone doing the entire Giants offensive line today.
Can you believe he said that?
This is 1912.
Second day in a row.
Wow.
The entire offense. Are you dumped it both days?
It's five guys. This is 100 and something years ago, Peter. 1912.
Why is Anthony dumping it? This woman doesn't exist. Yeah, it's a fictional character.
I don't know if you
Wait
have
a minute.
To.
These are getting dumped?
Yes. But on radio, they've never heard your brilliance.
Was it that? I apologize. Is it that bad?
No.
Is it? I'm asking.
It's a little sketchy. Let's go back to the phones.
Well, so is she.
Pat in Hoboken. Pat.
Michael, how are you?
Good. You?
Well, I'm doing fine. But, you know, Don, I could not agree with you anymore. Not only that, but like that poor woman who was her granddaughter.
Yep.
She had to go and marry James Cameron, who has no good luck with marriages.
She spit right in her eye.
Wow.
Right. And now, speaking of marriages, I heard the Counting Crows contest. It was very interesting to me. I liked them a lot. But, I heard the show yesterday, and I wasn't sure about the short list for the wedding. Because I imagine I would be, mid A or B list. And so I didn't want to make a commitment to the concert till I heard from Peter on that.
Is he on the short list for the wedding? Yeah. Pat and Hoboken wants to know.
It's going to be tough based on some of the people who are not making the cut.
I'm just so happy that I'm making the cut.
Yeah, you're in.
Some heavy hitters are not making the cut.
Yeah, I mean, there's some tough ones. There's some phone calls that got to get made, and they may not all be pleasant. But you know what the reality is? Don't most people, if you're a bubble, Don, hear me out on this. If you're a bubble wedding person, doesn't it mean in all likelihood you'd rather just not get the invite?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, let's be honest. I said it yesterday. Rick and Dave's invites have been lost, unfortunately.
I get you.
But here's my point. I know they're going to say they're mad on the air and insult me. Do they really want to spend their Saturday doing this?
But some weddings are fun. My wedding was a lot of fun.
Oh, no. Mine is going to be a jam. There's no question about it. But
weddings are fun, but you got to get dressed up. Some people have to go a great distance.
It's hot. It's going to be hot, blah, blah, blah. I mean, Rick lives practically in another universe.
Right.
So I'm doing him a favor.
Financially
and geographically, sure.
People have to realize that Holmes face-off percentage wins are in the high 80s.
Yeah.
Holmes winning most face-offs.
Oh, so I never leave my house.
Right.
Yeah, I only leave my house with Jody and work. Yeah. She always, she hooks us up with like dinner with couples. And
also, I think about the level of joy the person who's invited will have about being, like, I sincerely believe as big of a bad guy as Michael is, I believe, given how close we've been for a long time, both of you guys will be sincerely happy for me. Like, it will mean something.
I am going to walk into that wedding.
Yeah.
Like Vince McMahon does, that strut.
That's how excited you are?
That's how pumped up I am about going.
Because, right, Michael, we feel like we were in the very early stages of this journey.
No, we were in the stages of
you were
in the
journey. You guys were in the trenches.
Yeah.
Not just the stages.
We saw the destruction and then the rebuild.
And then the rebuild and the rebirth.
Yeah, yeah. Right. We saw it all.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
One of the greatest moments in sports history when he came out of the tunnel at Madison Square Garden in Game 7 of 1970 against the Lakers, scored the first two baskets, then turned it over to his buddy Walt Frazier, who scored 36, had 19 assists. We had Marv Albert on earlier, and Peter will revisit some of that on ENN coming up in just a moment. Let's go back to the phones. Mike in Connecticut. Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. How are you, Mike?
Good.
Good, thanks. I don't know why, like, everyone's saying Rick Pitino lied or Cooley wasn't honest or the coach was saying one thing to a recruit when something else was going on. The fact of the matter is, at that moment, when someone would ask anyone while they're in negotiations, at that moment, that's the fact. They're staying there. Because if negotiate, and I've been in this position when I interviewed for a job, and I got the job, I had signed all the papers, they announced it, and then the guy who interviewed me and recruited me tells me, hey, I'm going to Texas. But he didn't know that until that. It was
done. But Mike, wait a second. Pitino said, I will never leave Iona. Never leave it. So you can't say he believed it at the time, because it's a lie now.
Yeah, but...
It's a lie. In your world, no one can ever lie. So if you say something and then you go back on it, at the time you said it, you believed it was true. Right?
Yes, and he believed...
I'm sorry, bud. That wouldn't hold up in a court of law. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, also, if you make a vow to be with your partner only for the rest of your life,
right,
and you mean it at the time, and then you break that vow, is that not considered a lie?
Yeah. We're not even hanging Rick Pitino out the dry. We're actually playing it because it's so funny, because he was with such certitude. All you have to do is leave yourself a little wiggle room. I can't even imagine going anywhere else but Iona. That's not what he said. If you joined us later, I'm not going to play it again. He said, I will never, the last game I ever coach will be at Iona.
Right.
He lied.
And that wasn't in a living room with a recruit. That was to us.
And he had the job already. It wasn't like he was telling the people at Iona, give me this job and I'll never go anywhere else again. And I don't think anything has really changed at Iona. I've heard that he didn't like the fact that the MAC conference only gets one automatic bid. And if you don't win the conference tournament, they don't get an at-large bid most of the time. He didn't like that. There was no wiggle room. You had to win in the conference or you go home. And he lost last year, and St. Peter's went. And he felt, we had a good year, why didn't we go? So I think that felt constricting to him. But to say that he believed it at the time, so it's not a lie, then what's a lie? So nobody could ever lie, right?
I think we have to acknowledge it's a lie. It's just a matter of whether it bothers you or not. It doesn't bother me, because I think it just comes with the territory.
Right, I think it's funny when it comes to college sports.
Yeah.
Anybody that would believe, even professional sports, don't believe everything, because there's some people, the one thing that made Gene Michael special, he would never lie. And he always told Brian Cashman, don't lie. He said, don't answer, but don't lie. He said, because it'll always come back to bite you. And he was right. And he was absolutely right. But Gene would actually get caught, because he couldn't lie. He would just say, where'd you get that? So once he said, where'd you get that,
right,
then you knew that what you had was true, because he could not bring himself to say that's not true when he knew that it was. That's a pretty good man. But there are very few people like that in professional sports or college sports, because they want to protect the secrets. And I understand that there's some things that just can't get out, but it does put you in an uncomfortable situation when you have to lie. Like, there are people in our business that cover our business. And if there's something I don't want them to know and they're calling me or whatever, I just don't take their phone call, because I can't lie. I won't lie. I will not lie to somebody if they've got something cold. I just think it's unfair. Let's go to Anthony in the car. Anthony.
Wow, that poor Mikey. He must get taken advantage of all the time.
Who, me?
That's crazy.
No, the caller.
Oh, yeah.
No, the caller.
Yes,
I mean,
you're right.
You too. Who knows? Maybe you too. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I could be. I'm not quite certain.
Before I get to all my Don compliments, Peter.
Yo.
It's all taken care of. Everything from golf to food to drinks. Are you in?
What I need to know more specifics.
You want to play? Let's go.
Oh, just to play a round of golf.
It's all taken care of.
I don't know.
From the time you wake up to the time you go to bed.
Is it at Augusta or some, like, hack course?
Yeah.
Now, this is not a political statement. It's at Trump Ferry Point.
You know.
There's a good chance Peter's not going to golf.
Let me think about
it. And it has nothing to do with politics. No, no. I just know he doesn't like that kind of coarse roll of grass.
Where exactly? Is that the one in...
It's
by the Whitestone Bridge.
Oh, the one by the bridge.
Right.
No, it looks really nice. It looks really nice.
What do they call that course, Anthony? What? It's a special name, like with a lot of grass. What's that
called? Links.
It's a link course.
He hates link courses. He doesn't like.
Yeah, that's the thing about me.
Yeah, but it's good. There's no trees. No trees.
Yeah, but Peter's just water. He's diametrically opposed to link courses.
That's the thing.
Right.
That's really the issue. You know what?
Okay.
Hey, you know what? Let's see how the next like 7 to 10 days play out, and then we talk again. All right.
Sounds good. But I just wanted to. I'll close out after this. Don, yesterday, hands down, your best show.
Oh, he was strong. He was strong yesterday, beginning to end.
I felt good about it.
Between the company and Rose, massive.
I agree. It was a huge day for Donnie Pucks.
Anthony, I got to tell you something.
Company,
Rose and the company have a lot in common.
The company is full of nozzles.
I agree.
And I got to tell you, Anthony, you can call whenever you want. You're a great phone call. You got
twice a
voice.
Yeah, gets the humor of the show.
You know what? I think you should go golfing with him at that place.
Yeah, why not?
No, you know what? I've driven by it and thought, wow, that is a nice looking course.
Well, I know.
But again, what you said, I have like a really strong moral opposition to links golf.
You don't
it's just not
golf.
My style. I don't
watch.
He
doesn't like sausage links.
I don't even watch. I don't watch the Open Championship because it's links. Right. It's just not my style.
You don't even like the animal of the links.
Yeah,
no.
He hates it.
And by the way, the follow up to the original Zelda, Don.
Right.
I won't even play it. That's how disgusted I am.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.